Happy Easter. We praise God. We serve a risen Savior. The people in the other religions in the world can go to their tombs. We can go to the tomb too, but it's empty. You can look right in it. We're in Matthew 28 this morning, and we're going to read verses 1 through 15. And the title of the message is, Who Are You Going to Believe? Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you into Galilee, where you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, Greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, Do not be afraid. Go and tell the brothers to go to Galilee where they will see me. While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, Tell people, His disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and did as they were directed. And the story has been spread among the Jews to this day. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the proclamation of his word. If you're a person who has a Facebook account, you are confronted daily with many stories posted by people about the news of the day. You might not realize it, but Facebook profiles your use, and it tailors what you see based on who your friends are, what they look at, and by what you look at and the stories that you click on as you use Facebook. Now, if you're not careful, you'll only see stories that agree with your point of view. You might think everyone then agrees with you if that's the only things you see when you look at a website like Facebook. If you tend to lean to a certain political persuasion, you'll only see stories that reinforce that opinion. So we got to be careful of this. Because when we see and hear people who agree with us all the time, We're not able to communicate with people that don't agree with us. And we're not able to find common ground with people that don't share our opinions. Another danger of the internet today is that people often post misleading or false stories to discredit people they disagree with. When false or damaging stories are posted about people with whom we disagree, we tend to believe those stories without finding out if they're actually true. And if we're not really careful, we might repost those stories and be guilty of slandering people. Those kind of things tend to spread like wildfire, those kind of lies, don't they? All of us need to be people who do not spread falsehoods about anyone, especially about people with whom we disagree. We need to be people who seek to determine the truth and tell the difference between true and fake news. We sometimes have to investigate the reports we hear or read. We have to look at both sides. We have to determine what really is true. Now, 2,000 years ago, it was reported that Jesus of Nazareth was crucified. Jesus of Nazareth was crucified, and executed by a group of Roman soldiers. And it was reported that he physically rose, that he rose from the grave. That was the report. Jesus crucified and executed on the third day. It was reported that he rose from the grave. Now that report in itself is an accepted fact of history. It's, you know, people that talk about Jesus wasn't real or he never existed, he never was a historical figure, there, anybody with any intellectual sense at all, you can't investigate and say that Jesus was not a historical person. You know, as secular sources talk about Jesus and his effect and about what it was reported about him. And so the report of the resurrection of Jesus is pretty much an accepted fact of history. And it's a fantastic report, isn't it? It is a fantastic report. Christianity is either true, if the report of Jesus rising from the dead is true, or it is not true if the report of Jesus rising from the dead is not true. It's as simple as that. If Jesus rose from the dead, it's a good thing we're here today. If he did not, we might as well go watch, you know, somebody play baseball right now. We all acknowledge that people don't normally rise from the dead. I've been to a lot of funerals. I've conducted a lot of funerals. Nobody that I've ever seen buried I've never seen them physically since that day. Even in the ancient world, people knew that people did not rise from the dead. John Stott wrote, "Dead people don't rise. If we are asked to believe in the resurrection of Jesus, this means something quite unparalleled. There is nothing comparable in Judaism. Nothing. There is also nothing comparable in the Greco-Roman world. Now, there were mythological stories about the raising of Adonis or Isis or Osiris, but those are totally beside the point because they were just stories. Nobody really believed they happened. They concerned mythical figures of long ago who had never existed. But the resurrection story of Jesus concerns a man whom they all knew. He was executed in a very public manner. He was then seen to be alive and well, but in a strangely other mode of existence 3 days later, and for the next 6 weeks being finally parted from his infant church. He had risen. Some people touched him and felt him, and people saw him and heard him. This is unparalleled in the history of the world. I am telling you today that Jesus rose from the dead. And he alone is the way to forgiveness of sins and purpose in life and eternal life in God's good presence forever. That is the claim of that I'm making and the claim of East Madison Baptist Church. That is the claim of the Christian Church. It's a fantastic claim. And truly, each of us must decide if the evidence proves this is true or not. Christians believe and claim that Jesus physically, literally, bodily rose from the grave. We physically believe in the physical, literal, bodily resurrection of Jesus from the grave. And could you click that for me up there? Because it ain't working. And so you must decide whether you believe this is true. Is this true or fake news? What do you think? Well, let's look at the story this morning presented in Matthew's gospel. Now, if you want to know kind of the whole story, you put all four of the gospels together, and it gives you an idea of all the things that happened and all the people who were there. And each of the gospels is like an individual reporter. They tell one person's experience with the resurrection, basically, or a few people's experience, and they report to us a little bit like a newspaper would report it to us. And so in Matthew's gospel, very early in the morning, before sunrise, toward the dawn of the day, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. There were more women than Mary Magdalene and Mary that went, but Matthew only mentions these two. Matthew tells us on that morning there was a great earthquake. And he tells us that the earthquake happened because an angel of the Lord had descended from heaven and come down and rolled back the stone, was in front of the tomb where Jesus' body was buried the previous Friday evening. Now, the angel did not come to let Jesus out of that grave. Jesus's body, even though it was a physical body, it was not confined to time and space like our bodies are now. It was like we're going to have someday. But it was physically, he physically bodily arose from the grave, but the angel didn't come so that Jesus could get out of the tomb. Jesus didn't need his help to rise from the grave. And so the angel came, there was an earthquake, and the angel was sitting on the stone that he pushed out of the way in front of that tomb. A dead Jesus had been put in that grave, but on the Friday evening before, but there was not enough time to prepare the body for proper burial, and so the women knew where Jesus had been laid, and so these devoted followers of Jesus had come back on this Sunday morning, not believing, not expecting a resurrection. They had come back on this Sunday morning to prepare the body for burial, for a more proper Jewish burial. The stone was rolled away, and the angel was sitting on it. Now, Matthew tells us his appearance was like lightning, a brightness to the appearing of this person. It wasn't just a normal human being. It was an angelic messenger of God. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. And Matthew tells us in the previous chapter, the chief priests and the Pharisees had said that he would rise from the dead. And so the chief priests and Pharisees then went to Pilate because they didn't want Jesus' disciples to steal the body and deceive people. They'd set up this guard. And so they went to Pilate. They asked him, give us a guard, and Pilate gave him a guard. Now, whether it was a temple guard that was under their authority or whether it was a Roman guard that was under Pilate's authority, we don't know for sure. But they gave him the guard. And then Pilate said, you know, seal it. And that was a Roman seal was put on that guard. And that seal could not be broken without somebody being in trouble. A seal was put on that guard. And basically, the guard and the seal said, don't mess with this thing or you're in trouble with Rome. Well, on that morning, these guards saw the lightning bright angel in dazzling snow white clothing. They experienced the earthquake. They saw the stone pushed back from the tomb, and they were so frightened, the scripture says they became kind of like dead men. Then the women came up to the tomb, and they found the stone rolled away from the entrance, and the angel was sitting on the stone. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid. For I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead and he's going before you into Galilee. So that's what they were told. The women then departed quickly and they began to go tell his disciples the message given to them by the heavenly messenger, when suddenly the resurrected Jesus appeared to them and greeted them. And they took hold of his feet, the scripture says, and they worshiped him. Not a ghost, not a spirit. They took hold of his feet. They fell at his feet. And they recognized that he was one worthy of worship. God the Son, Jesus Christ, had risen from the grave. Jesus then told them not to be afraid, but to go tell his brothers and go tell his brothers and tell others that he was going to go ahead of them into Galilee later, and there they would see him. Now, meanwhile, back at the tomb, while the woman ran to inform the disciples, the men who had been guarding the tomb ran to tell the chief priest what they had experienced. They had seen a paralyzing vision of heavenly angels, and they were scared silly. The stone was away from the tomb, and there was no body of Jesus left. And they were scared. They were scared by the vision itself. They were scared because they were supposed to keep that body in there. And if they were derelict in their duty, one of the penalties was they could have actually been killed. And so they went, they didn't go to Pilate, and maybe it's because they knew that the chief priest was interested in what happened as Pilate, and maybe the chief priest could be a buffer between them and Pilate. They went to the chief priest, and they told them what had happened. They told them their story about the earthquake, about the angel, and about the missing body. Well, it's very interesting that these corrupt chief priests, the ones who had wanted Jesus crucified, who had wanted him dead, these men, when they were told about the angel, when they're told about the stone, when they're told about the missing body, they refused to even consider evidence from their very own eyewitnesses, these guards, that something supernatural could have happened. You know, there are some people that, you know, will not believe in the supernatural no matter what. They will not consider that no matter how overwhelming the evidence might be. And these men, these Jewish chief priests, were that's what they were like. They didn't want to believe in Jesus in the first place because they didn't like the things that he taught and said. And so they came up with a plan to bribe the soldiers. The soldiers were to say that Jesus' disciples came by night and stole the body of Jesus while they were asleep. Now think about the story for a minute. It doesn't even make sense when you read it superficially. If the guards were asleep, how could they know who stole the body? If the guards were asleep, how could they know what happened to the body? If the guards were really asleep and they admitted this, they could be in big trouble. The story doesn't make sense, but that was the story they were given. And so the chief priests, the leaders, gave these soldiers a sufficient sum of money to tell this concocted story. The guards were told by the chief priests that if the report came to the governor's ears, they would satisfy Governor Pilate's curiosity, probably with some kind of bribe that would keep these guards out of trouble. Now, probably Pilate had all he wanted to take of Jesus and these chief priests in the first place, so he probably didn't really care about anything that happened. But they did tell these guys, we'll protect you if you get in trouble. And Matthew writes, whenever he wrote, maybe 40 years after Jesus, sometime we're not exactly sure, it wasn't that long after Jesus lived and died and rose again, this story was still being circulated and was believed by many. Now this is Matthew's account of the resurrection. And I want to make a couple of observations about that this morning. First of all, there is no dispute of whether the tomb was empty or not. There is no dispute of whether the tomb was empty or not. The tomb was empty. If the chief priest could have produced a body, they would have produced a body. But the tomb was empty. Both of those who affirm that Jesus rose and who deny that Jesus rose, neither side disputed the fact that the tomb was empty. Secondly, and this may not seem like a lot, but the first witnesses to the resurrection were women. Now, we don't think a lot about that, but in the first century, it was a big deal because women were not even allowed to testify in court. Even this morning, there was a CNN report about Mary Magdalene being part of the Me Too movement. You know, I just clicked it on and I'm reading it this morning. It's very interesting. But they quoted a Richard Bachman, a theologian and author, who wrote Jesus and the Eyewitnesses, the Gospel as Eyewitness Testimony. And this is what Richard Bachman wrote. In the ancient world, women were thought to be credulous and gullible, especially in religious matters. In the second century, the pagan intellectual Celsus, who wrote a book against Christianity, says of the resurrection, "Who saw him? Just a poor fisherman and hysterical women." The first witnesses to the resurrection were women. Now, I want to say to you, if somebody's going to make up this story and try to convince others a false story was true, they would not have picked women to be the first witnesses of the resurrection. But you know, God did. God picked women to be the first witnesses of the resurrection. They were His chosen witnesses. In fact, I believe Christianity was the beginning of the real kind of liberation of women from being property, because that's what they were considered in the first century. These women were God's chosen witnesses. And the third observation I wanted to make to you this morning was these fearful disciples and apostles who hid in terror when they thought Jesus was dead. They were hiding, they were in terror. They soon became fearless and testified that Jesus rose from the dead. The Christian message through them spread to the ends of the known world within a few decades. You know, there's a lot more evidence, and I'm not going to go into all that this morning. I'm not going to try to do an apologetic of why every reason I believe Jesus rose from the dead. If I could convince you, though, I would love to convince you that Jesus rose from the dead. I do believe it. I do believe, and it's the truth of history. It's the truth of God. I believe it. You might think I'm crazy, and that's your prerogative, but it's the foundation of my life. If you want to read more extensively, we have some of those, the Case for Easter books on the table in the foyer. We invite every family to take a part of that. That goes into a lot more detail than I'm going to go into today. Jesus rising from the dead is the very foundation of the faith of every believer. It's the true hope of our lives. And the question is, will you believe it's true and trust your life to this risen Savior? They proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Everyone was beaten, tortured, stoned, put in prison. They would not have endured that if this weren't true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep a lie for 3 weeks. "You're telling me," he wrote, 12 apostles could lie for 40 years? Absolutely impossible. You see, we stake our very lives on the truth that Jesus rose from the dead, and He is the risen Savior and Lord of all who will come to Him in faith. Every person here and every person ultimately around the world has to make a decision about whether they believe the resurrection is real or fake news. Don't make that decision lightly. Carefully examine the evidence and decide if you believe Jesus is the risen Lord or not. Because I believe, and the Scripture teaches, that your eternal destiny rides on what you decide about that. Christians believe and claim that Jesus Christ physically, literally, bodily rose from the grave. Each of us must decide whether we think that's true or not. Heavenly Father, we praise You this day that we serve a risen Savior. A Savior who came into the chaos of the world, died for our sins, so that we could be forgiven and rose again so that we could have eternal life, so that we can know you and love you and live for you and be in your presence, your good presence forever. Father, I pray that if there's someone here wondering about whether it's true or not, Lord, that they would not put off seeing whether it's true. And I pray that there's someone here, Lord, they know it's true, but they never trusted their lives to the one who died and rose again. I pray that today they would receive you into their lives. They would commit their lives to following you. They would say yes to you, Lord Jesus. They would say, Jesus, come into my life and be my Lord, and I will follow you. I pray that this would happen. Lord, help us to be faithful witnesses. Like the early apostles and early Christians, Lord, testify to this thing, to this truth, even when others jailed them and persecuted them, and Lord, and even killed them, they still testified to this truth of Jesus rising from the grave. Help us to testify to that truth in our day, wherever you place us. It is in your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.